Tonight's shiur is given Lezecha Nishmas Yaakov Rani Bas Rav Shlomo and Margalit. We made their they have an aliyah on the Shema. And Parshas Bo, of course, a lot of it has to do with what we discuss at the Seder on Pesach, so it's easily more remembered and then more meaningful. But there are so many things that are very interesting about the beginning of this parsha. And when God says to Moshe, Boel Paro Kiani Hichbadeti Eskli Bovi Eslev Avodov, he's telling them there's a dual purpose for all. You might wonder why I didn't just give one mako or two, and why there are so many questions that need to be asked. Why this parasha begins at this point after seven in Vo'era and three here? Why was it divided up? But of course, Hashem does it. Everything has a purpose and every word has a meaning. And this is the way it will be. And Bo El Paro, Ki Ani Echbadeti Eskli Bo, I want not only for the Egyptians, as we mentioned last week, this is not only for the Egyptians to suffer, but this is always, once again, for the Jews to see, for me to exhibit my power so that B'nai Yisrael could understand how I control everything, because they've been living in Mitzrayim for 210 years and certainly been inculcated with this Avodah Zorah, which brings us to another point. But first, just to clear up the fact that why the parashas are divided up the way they are. Vayera had seven makos, and it's interesting that we see that even though at the end it said Vayechazek Hashem even in last week, but they're not divided along those lines. Previously, the first seven makos, every time Moshe came to Paro and warned him and told him what's about to happen, the Mitzrayim were not frightened yet until the makah happened, and then they were very frightened. But in this parasha, it begins that there is an attitude change, that they became frightened before the makkah actually began. And that is a very interesting fact. So at that point, this is a change in attitude. And that's why we see that when Moshe comes and talks to Paro with this point, it says, Vayifen Vayetze Mayim Paro. He leaves Paro, he turns his back on him. In last week's parasha, God had told Moshe to give Paro some respect, but at this point in time, this is what I like to refer to as the deconstruction of Paro. Paro now realizes that because he begins to bargain, until now he's being very curt with Moshe, and he's making demands, and he was telling him, I won't let your people go, but now he begins to bargain, saying, me for me, how ho chim, and that is a direct change in attitude. And that's a very interesting part. But getting back to what I wanted to focus on is a very interesting point. We say that one of the reasons that B'nai Yisrael were zoche for the Yetzias Mitzrayim is that Shiloh, we learned as children, Shiloh Shinu Eshimom, Shiloh Shinu Eshimosam. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their language, and they wore the same clothes. Basically, they identified as Jews. But on the other hand, we're told that the Malachi Ashores, we are told that God was disturbed with B'nai Yisrael because it said, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zorah, V'Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zorah. They both were idol worshippers. So what would be the answer to that? Which one was it? It makes it sound like they wore their religion on their sleeve and never forgot they were Jews, and yet they worshiped the idols. But the problem is, and I believe this is all part of a big scenario, once again, I emphasize this is my opinion, the way I see it. And what it is that once you do something for so many years, it was so steeped in their culture already for so many years that they truly believed that they were Jews, different from the Mitzrayim. But that didn't change the fact that they believed that idol worship became actually a part of the Jewish religion. They really believed in it. And that's why when we talk about Chazal tell us, V'hamayim lahem choma, one of the times that it says choma, it's spelled without the vav, because the significance of it is that it could be read chema, because they took the idol of Micha along with them in the Yom Suf. When they were crossing the Yom Suf, imagine, they were carrying, there were those Jews who had idols still, And the truth of the matter is, even at the time of Yeshua, there were still idols, you know, amongst the Jewish nation throughout history until after the destruction of the first temple, when the rabbis had to, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had to pray for the desire for Avodah Zarah to leave them. And it never left them, which also answers the next question. There are so many interpretations and given in the parasha when it says, Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashru b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'yarbal me'el shana. Heretofore, we've had a bris mein habsharim, and in the bris mein habsharim, we were foretold that God said, Arba me'el shana, 400 years. And where did the 430 come from? So we start to backtrack, and we think, okay, it wasn't just from the birth of Yitzhak, it was 400, but we backtrack 30 years, and we try to say that it was from the bris mein habsharim. But then, what is the reason that it says, Umoshav b'nei Yisrael, Asher Yashvu b'Mitzrayim Shloshim Shana v'Arba Me'el Shana? Well, what was the significance of the Bris Bein Absarim that when God made this pact with Avraham Avinu, when he realized that God is the God of the only God and God of the universe, and he put his faith in God, that is the length of our existence as a Jewish nation. Umoshav b'nei Yisrael Asher Yashvu b'Mitzrayim. Our existence as a people was from the Bris Bein Absarim, 430 years. But why choose that as the beginning? And why say Asher Yashvu b'Mitzrayim? Very simply, because even after God told Avraham, gave him the command, Lech lecha me'artzecha, me'oladetecha, me'beis avicha, and he told him to go to the land of Eretz Yisrael, at the first sign of trouble, when there was a famine in the land, Avraham went to Mitzrayim for food. Yitzchak attempted to go to Mitzrayim for food, but God stopped him and said, Gur ba'aretz hazo, stay here, Vayogar Yitzchak b'Gerar, to stay in Gerar, don't go outside the land. Yaakov, of course, sent the brothers down to Mitzrayim for food. There was always this fallback position. Mitzrayim was always there for them as a fallback position. And this was in their mind. Their culture was there. They were exposed to it all their lives. And God's agenda here is to rid them of all their relationships with all the ties to Mitzrayim. And it's becoming more and more difficult. So halalu ovdei avodah zarah v'halalu ovdei avodah zarah. That's true. But they believe that was so inculcated in their fiber of their being that they believe this was part of Yiddishkeit. And that's what we see today as well. But it also gives rise to the next statement. When we have that Moshe took along, it says that v'gam erev rav ala itam. Suddenly, this was not part of God's plan. Why was God upset with the fact that, you know, you would think you want to be inclusive. We're looking to gain members. But that's not what Yiddishkeit is all about. We always like to say, when I speak about it, it's like the Marines. We want a few good men. Since it's a profit-sharing religion, we don't want outsiders. We're happy to have gerim, but we want to make sure that they are going to adhere to the rules and regulations, and of course most of them actually do, but we want to make sure that they are sincere about it. The Erev Rav obviously were not sincere, and God understood that this was going to be a thorn in their side because they were taking along when God was trying to rid them of every vestige of Egyptian life. They were taking the Erev Rav along with them, which was very bad, which was another factor involved that we see that after HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, God, after the Makos Bechoros, or it'd be right before it, but when God gives them their first mitzvah, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, and he gives all the laws of Pesach, and yet it doesn't appear to be he gives them all the laws of Pesach, because we find something very interesting. Right after Moshe, it says Umoshav b'nei Yisrael, and then it says v'gam erev rav ala itam v'tzonu v'kar mikneh kaveh miyod, that the erev rav went along with them. Suddenly a new halacha crops up didn't say it before because God did not intend for them to go along. This was Moshe allowances to change up what God had intended. And therefore, it has to say later on in the parasha, Kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. Remember, until they go through the process of becoming a true Jew, they don't get to eat from the Korban Pesach. And this wasn't part of the mitzvah. Now, one thing is very interesting also is that when it says HaKodesh Hazeh Lochem, one might think the interesting terminology is HaKodesh, the month. This is your first month. Why not say this is your first year? Perhaps we should start counting not from creation, but from the first year as a Jewish nation. They're leaving Mitzrayim now, and they're embarking on a new life, and this is their freedom, and they should start counting from this time. But God says the new month is fine. I don't want you to forget beforehand. You always have your past. You build on the past. We have Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. It doesn't say Hashanah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, not HaChodesh, not Hashanah, Hazos Tiyeh Lochem. It doesn't say the year is new. It's only the month. We start counting from this point in time. The year begins to count, but the previous years are all very important. We can't exist without our past. You must remember everything that happened, and that's God's message as well. We move on from there, and now we see the Kol Bnei Yisrael Hayar B'Moshe Osam. What is the factor of the The Mefarsh, it is one of the interesting Mefarshim says, what do you mean you couldn't see the land? Of course, it seems that the locusts were so dense that you couldn't see the land. Of course, you could see the land. If you're walking, you see the land. But it meant it blotted out the sun from seeing the land. That is the sun. The sun was being blocked out, so there was no... The locust in the air was so prevalent and so dense that the sun couldn't shine on the ground. And so vatechshach ha'aretz, the ground became, which is another reason why these three makos are in this parasha, because they all have to do with darkness. The arbe caused darkness, and then, of course, the darkness caused darkness, and the makos b'choros obviously happened at midnight. So the last three makos happened under the cover of darkness, and that is why they are separated here as well. The interesting thing about Choshech is, what is Choshech HaFeilo? What makes it so dark? And on a very simple level, we've all experienced driving in a fog, or when you're up in the if you're up in the Catskills or various other regions out of the city, and the fog gets so dense that you can't see, even in the middle of the day, you can't see a foot in front of you. You've had that experience in various climates when it's very humid. But what is so amazing here is, as we mentioned last week, Egypt is one of the driest climates in the world. They have no rainfall, so it's never humid in Egypt. So on top of everything, the humidity was so dense, you literally could not see or feel. If you were trying to make a fire, there was so much water in the air that it would put out a fire. However, the whole B'nai Yisrael, Hoya'ar, it doesn't say Hoya'ar and leave it there. Hoya'ar B'mosh V'osom. In their houses, they had light. We see these pictures of B'nai Yisrael walking with these torches, and I don't think that's what the Torah meant, because we had been told up to a point to stay indoors, and certainly by Makos B'choros. What was the reason for staying indoors by Makos B'choros? Al Yetze Yishmim Komo, that, Ad Boker, that nobody should leave their house until morning, and that was because the people were running around like a chicken without a head, so to speak. They were mobs running around. People were dying, and they would be bumping into the Jews, and it's a mob scene. You never want to be around this uncontrolled mob scene. People get hurt, so God is telling them to be inside, which brings up another thing. When it says, V'ayol lochem li'os ala botim v'hadam lochem li'os, it wasn't to paint the blood on the outside of the doorpost, like we see in all the shows. If the blood was painted on the inside of the doorpost, because if you were inside the house, the point is, it's for you to see the blood on the doorpost, for you personally to see it. The only way you could see it, if it was on the inside, if you were remaining indoors, you would see it indoors. And that's the interesting part. Of course, one other thing I noticed, that this is just the sidelight, that we have the parshas, we talk about tefillin at the end of the parsha. And all the, if you take a look, I think it's very interesting. We know the four parshas, Shema, Vayim, Shemoa, and then we have, of course, two of the parshas are at the end of Bo, Ki V'Yacha, V'Hoyo Ki V'Yacha, and one of the other parshas that we have in the tefillin also. And if we notice the first pasuk in both of those parshas, when do you start putting on tefillin? At 13. And each one of those psukim has 13 words in it. The psukim that have to do with tefillin have 13 words in it. I checked the other psukim, and you don't see they have 11, 12, of course, more. But the only psukim that I see, I counted, I did a little. It's just being the mathematician that I grew up to be initially, is that there are 13 letters, 13 words in these psukim, which is just a strange sidelight, and which I thought was very interesting, and which is a remez. But now, of course, getting back to when Moshe, we see the beginning of the parasha when it says ki imoena tola shaleach. One of the things that we see that changes of attitude is up till now, Paro has been telling Moshe every time he comes and says, Shalach ami v'yavduni, come back tomorrow and I'll let you know what my decision is, if I'm going to let you know. At this point, when he says, Ki im ato mo'ein l'shaleach, Moshe is closing the door on Paro. Basically, he's saying, the answer is now. I'm not coming back tomorrow. You have to give me your answer now. Hineni mashliach b'cha. Right now, if you don't give me your answer immediately, that is when it begins. Because he saw the Paro getting shaky, and that's why Vayifen Vayetzei Me'im Paro, he felt the ability to turn his back on Paro because he no longer had that kind of control. And these are all very, very interesting parts of the parsha. Now, one of the things it says, when Paro says, Gam tzonchem gam bekarchem tichu kasher dibartem volechu uveirachtem osi. That's a very interesting pasuk. What does it mean, uveirachtem osi? It means he's asking Moshe because he is so broken at this point, and he also truly believes about what's about to happen. We ask sometimes, not sometimes, but when we're not well or something, you ask somebody to give you a mishaberach, give me a bracha, I'm in trouble. And that is exactly what is going on. Imagine, he is suffering all these things, these makos, and he says, you're going out to sacrifice, and you're sacrificing to your God. When you make your sacrifice, gam tzonchem, gam bekarchem, kichu, just like you told me, go, uveirachtem, gam osi. Make a bracha for me too. Pray for me too, because by makos bechoros, Paro actually thought that he knew he was a bechor, and that certainly when he sees the people dropping, literally dropping dead all around him, he assumes that he will die as well. And therefore, he's saying, uveirachtem gam osi. Give me a mishaberach too. And these are just the interesting sidelights on the parsha. So what I said also was, and we see the same thing from what I began to say about Loya of the Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yoshvu b'Mitzrayim, and that is why later on in Parshas Shoftim, when it says Lo soshuv baderach hazeh, oh, God is so concerned about not going back to Mitzrayim. I don't want you to rely on the fact that if anything goes wrong, you're going to call on the Mitzrayim. You're going to, when things get bad, and you're going to go back to Mitzrayim, because, as I said, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they still had a little bit of that reliance in their mind. This was like a fallback position should things get bad. And when they're in the Midbar, why would they say, let's go back to Mitzrayim? Why not say, let's go to another country? Maybe we'll go to who knows where. There were so many other nations that they were amongst them or around them. You surfaced around them in the Midbar, the other nations. Why not move someplace else? Why even mention going back to Mitzrayim? Because that was like old home for them. This is where it was so part of them. And that's what God was so concerned to rid them of every vestige of their Egyptian culture, which was not to be, unfortunately. And that's why this generation had to die in the Midbar, because they never rid themselves of that entire part of their fiber of their being until they would grow up as a free man, just as we did, and that is what we see. And that is what we are. We live, if we want to be, when Yosef told Bnei Yisrael, V'yoshavta b'eretz Goshen, v'yisa koro ve'lai, you should stay in the land of Goshen, that was a warning, because at least you'll stay away from turning into Egyptians. And when they mixed among them, and even God was saying during in the there were messages to Bnei Yisrael during the Makos, why does it say in one pasuk it says v'hiflesi es eretz Goshen? He didn't have initially, a couple of the Makos were all over the place, but v'hiflesi es eretz Goshen, and in one of the Makos God set apart that Goshen would be separate from all the places in Mitzrayim. There would be the plague, but not in Goshen. Rak b'eretz Goshen lo haya barad. In Goshen there wasn't. There were various places in some of the Makos that makes a point of saying not in Goshen. Had the Bnei Yisrael, they could have avoided a lot of their misery for the 210 years had they stayed in Goshen. But naturally, they want to join in on the politics. They want to be good citizens, and they don't stay home on the farm and keep to themselves. And that is a price we always have to pay. It's a balancing act. And too many times we have made the wrong decisions, or it's just the fact that, unfortunately, too many things go against us because of the anti-Semitism that exists in the world that is certainly rampant, and we see it more and more. And may we be zocha to rise above these situations that we keep hearing about. And have a good week. Thank you.